Being bulimic, I gained great success as a professional cheerleader, a coach, a fitness model, until it all came crashing down in one moment.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems but found answers in a real God. Lately, we've been talking about bulimia nervosa, a condition which mostly affects 1.3% of females and 0.5% of males. But it is a condition when someone binge eats and then purges, which means they vomit, up all their food so as not to gain weight. Now, listener discretion is advised as the content you're about to hear is intended for a mature audience only. Now, the causes of bulimia are unknown to scientists, but they know that it can run in families. Why would someone torture themselves by being so obsessed with weight gain enough to go through great extremes of making themselves throw up all their food? Are there severe consequences to this behavior? Well, in our last show, we had Marcella Eslau tell us how her eating disorder of anorexia came from a past event of being sexually abused by a babysitter that caused her to desire finding a way to have control of her life. So she responded to any negative stimuli by not eating and suffering from anorexia. Later on, that developed into bulimia, where she used it to gain positions in her high school cheerleading. Later on, she found that it opened up doors of success in her life. Today, she's going to share more about the dark sides of that lifestyle. Marcella, welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Ann. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Marcel, it's great having you with us here. You know, your story brings a lot of light of why people struggle with bulimia. Tell us how this bulimia eventually became addicting to you and why. Because, you know, you said that in our last show. You said it kind of like became addicting. I mean, who likes to throw up like that? Nobody. How does this become addicting?
Yeah. I think on when you're doing something in secret and you're getting success from it on the outside, it's really hard to stop. You're getting, you know, what you wanted out of a negative behavior. So in your state of mind and in your desperation to just keep going and keep creating this facade of a life, it's almost like you're stuck and you know it, but you just keep going.
Wow. So you kind of felt maybe a little guilty sometimes inside.
You know, I don't know if I ever felt guilty. I don't think that really ever settled in. I think a lot of the self-hate and a lot of that and a lot of wanting to control my life, I never looked at it from a healthy lens as of I'm hurting myself.
Same.
I looked at it as I'm hurting myself and I deserve it.
Oh, wow. So you kind of like wanted to punish yourself.
Oh, yeah. I think anyone that is doing anything that's harmful to them that way, you're dealing with some sort of pain. Something on the inside is propelling you to continue to keep going. You can't be completely healthy in your mind and have a healthy mindset about yourself and continue in this type of disorder.
You know, Marcella, did you ever feel good enough since, you know, you needed to attain to such great heights?
You know, I think that the applause only lasted so long. And to be able to continue to throw up and to continue to maintain this lifestyle, you're perpetuating these hateful thoughts in your head. And so it's hard to ever feel good enough.
Wow.
And you'll reach a height and then there's another height to reach.
Really?
You know, you'll reach a position and then there's another thing to get. It's endless. And so you think that you're going to have this mountaintop success moment where it all is everything you wanted it to be. But honestly, you're really empty and no amount of praise fills that void of feeling like, no, I'm not good enough.
Oh, that's so sad. Now, I understand that there was some consequences later on, even physically, like on camera, it looked really good, right? Like these girls on Instagram and all this stuff. But then what was really going on in person?
Yeah. So on, I'm not sure if you know, but the camera and the stage, it makes you look really good.
Right.
And it actually adds pounds to you. So on the camera, I looked, you know, really shredded and really lean toward the end, especially when I was going into competitions. But if you were to see me in real life, I was absolutely emaciated. I mean, taking water polars and eating minimal amounts of food, dropping all my carbohydrates, all the things. And there would be times in conversation, people would be talking to me mid-conversation. I would just forget everything they said. There's literally nothing in my body, like no nutrients in my body, nothing I'm really running off of to maintain what I'm doing. I mean, it came to an extreme level. And so it looked good on camera. It looked good to other people, easy to comment, easy to like. But if you were to see me in person, I didn't look very healthy, you know, face to face.
Wow. I understand that even when people would criticize you, even like parents or anybody who would bring anything negative to you, you would respond by, I'm going to get better by throwing up. Is that right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was my solution to the failure.
Wow. I understand that self-punishment took on new levels.
Yeah.
Where you're even cutting yourself. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, there was cutting and then there was physical hitting myself. And any negative thing, if I failed at anything, for example, if I were going to go out to dinner with everyone and I were to tell myself, Marcelle, you're not eating in front of anyone, that would be my thought. And if I did eat, I would go home and I would literally physically punch myself.
What?
Physically punch myself and hurt myself to remind myself not to do this.
Wow.
And I hated myself for it. I failed. And so with the cutting, anytime there's a negative criticism, I would go and I would cut myself. It started out with just grabbing my arm, digging my fingers into my flesh, and then finding sharp objects and small cuts to full blown taking the largest knife that I could and dicing my arm up pretty bad. I mean, there was a time where I remember my mom just giving me negative, you know, criticism or just correcting me, rightfully so. And I couldn't handle that emotionally. And I went and I grabbed the largest knives that I could, went into the bathroom and butchered my arm.
Jeez.
And the next thing I remember, I look up and there's blood pooling all over the bathroom counter.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't even know what I did. At that point, I don't know if I blacked out. I don't know if I just didn't care. I don't know. I just did not.
It was like a rage on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're like punishing yourself.
And when you're perpetuating this type of hateful behavior toward yourself, it is punishment toward yourself. It looks good on the outside, on the extreme dieting, the extreme exercising, all of that looks good.
Wow.
But the thoughts that you're saying to yourself to continue perpetuating such an abusive life, they're not good on the inside.
Wow, this is bad. Now, I understand that eventually it took more and more to be able to throw up.
Yeah.
What happened on the day when you completely lost your gag reflex?
Yeah.
And, you know, from my eyes, it's like, yay, that's a good thing. But you were not seeing it this way. What were you seeing it as?
No, I panicked. It was starting to take me longer and longer to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard when you're throwing up all day, multiple times a day. So I would throw up 2 to 3 times a day toward the end of this disorder. And they were becoming longer sessions because my reflex was just getting weaker. And I didn't even know that was a possible thing.
Right.
I call it a miracle, but I was shoving any object that I could down my throat. I was taking hours at a time to do this.
Hours? How many hours?
At one point, it was taking up to 4 hours
for me
to feel like everything was completely gone. 4 hours of your whole day.
Wow.
I would take breaks in between and lay down and then, you know, chug something and go back and just try to get everything out. An absolute obsession. And I was panicking because I knew that everything that I had built my world around with this look was based on me continuing in this disorder.
Oh my gosh. So basically, when you lost the gag reflex, it was a day when you couldn't anymore.
I mean, I couldn't, but I was still trying. I was struggling, but I was still trying.
And then what happened? Like, so you're trying and you can't. And then what?
You know, I remember it like it was yesterday. I walked outside of the bathroom and I put my head down and I was desperate. And I knew that this was the end of me. And I cried out to God. I cried out to whoever I thought was God. I said every name that I knew, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, every name. I mean,
yeah.
Any name. You could throw any name in there. I probably said it. And I said, God, if you take this from me, I will never look back.
Oh, like you were mad at God.
No, I wasn't mad at God. I said, God, if you take this disorder.
Because
I was trying, in between me getting really bad and going really extreme in this, I would have bouts of wanting to quit on my own. I have a tattoo on my wrist that says fighter with the eating disorder symbol on my wrist to remind myself to try to quit. I couldn't do it in my own strength, even when I tried.
Dang. Marcella, let's stop here. I want to have you on our next show to talk about, you know, how this wasn't the end of your story, but you had a side situation happen that brought real change into your life. So thanks so much for sharing with all of us, Marcella.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hang on there. I want to show you what ancient scriptures have to say about what you just heard right after the short break.
Did you know that just $10 a month can reach up to 1,000 more listeners to our show, where their lives can be inspired and transformed by the power of the gospel? We need your help. We are a nonprofit ministry, and we need your support today. let me tell you how God is using this show to touch so many hearts. We often hear how someone was just driving in their car, heard our show, and related to someone's story, and God touched their heart. They received Jesus into their life that day. You can donate to our ministry through our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com, where you can make a one-time donation or make a monthly commitment. You can also support us by getting our merch through our website. You can buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, mugs, and more. Every donation helps, whether it's $3 a month or $100 a month. Thank you so much for your support and prayers. Now back to the show.
More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? This is a grim story, but a real one. Marcella was on the top of her world. In today's Instagram posing world and social media craze about who has the best bikini body, our world is pushing for a skinnier and skinnier woman. And I bet for Marcella, the compliments were never ending. Open doors left and right, attaining to new heights. Now instead of being the student and performer only, she was also a high-level teacher. This little secret to make sure she looked a certain way and performed a certain way, this was a meaning to her life. You can really see the strain on her life due to her value really coming from how she looked and what she could do. But besides that, it seems like she was revealing that she felt empty inside, almost like all her achievements was a lie in a way, because she wasn't telling the world that she was consistently throwing up so she would never look overweight or undesirable to those around her. She was focused on controlling her life and controlling her success, and anything that would get in the way of that, including herself, sounds like she punished it. Beloved, this is how avarice and greed for success can rule over our lives and make us slaves to the demands of life. It's written by King Solomon, who achieved great success in his life. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, for this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." This is where Marcella was. She was starting to realize when she could no longer do the things to get her the success of where she arrived, she started seeing the vanity of it all. Like almost as if though she had it, but the success, it passed so fast that it seems like it was all vanity, all that pain, all that suffering, all that self-punishment. Where was she going? The road was ending. The road had a dead end. What about you, beloved? Have you ever felt this way? How do you respond? How do you move forward in life when the road is at an end? And do you know that there's no end in Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, teach us the way, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the one who is leading us to eternal life. Let us consider this truth. Let us accept it and follow after you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Hope you're blessed with this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
If you want to know more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please check us out at www.therealliferadioshow.com. See you next time.